We had to wait an hour before Gizo put in an appearance, in which time the sun got hotter and the stench of death fouler. Suddenly, everything went dead quiet. Then out of the street beside the death house scampered a score of figures, grotesquely masked. They swung rattles as they ran, filling the air with their clatter and crying out, "Gizo! Gizo!" Two warriors carried forward a great carved stool, its feet shaped like massive human legs, which they planked down on the dais of skulls before the death house. As the masked dancers fell silent, a drum began to beat, and the crowd began to take it up, stamping and clapping in unison and emitting a wordless grunt of "ay, ay, ay, ay." And I saw, emerging by the death house, a double file of warriors swinging along in time to the drum. "Ha!" cries Spring eagerly. "At last!" They marched out either side of the square in two long lines, lithe, splendid figures, swaying as they marched, and I got the surprise of my life. The warriors were all women. And such women! They must have been close on a man's height, fine, strapping creatures, black as night and smart as guardsmen. I gaped at the leading one on the right as she approached, looking straight before her, a great ebony Juno, naked to the little blue kilt at her waist, with a long stabbing spear in one hand and a huge cleaver in her belt. The only other things she wore were a broad collar of beadwork tight round her throat and a white turban over her hair. And as she passed in front of us, I noticed that at her girdle there hung two skulls and a collection of claws. The others who followed her carried spears. Some had bows and one or two even had muskets, and I never saw anything on horse guards that looked as well-drilled and handsome, or as frighteningly dangerous.
"None of your soldiers could throw chests like them," says Kirk, licking his lips,
and then I felt Spring's hand grip my wrist. He pointed at the black, glistening line as they marched past.
"Do you realize what you're seeing, Flashman?" says he. "Do you? Women warriors. Amazons. The kind of whom Herodotus wrote, but he knew nothing of the reality. Look at the man. Did you ever see such a sight?"
Well, they were likely big wenches, certainly, and they bounced along very jolly. But when I watch a wobbling buttock, I prefer it to be unobscured by a dangling skull. But Spring was all for him. His voice was husky as he watched.
"Do you know what they call themselves? Mzangu, the fair ones. You see how every company leader wears a spotless turban? They call them Amodozo. Doesn't that name bring back an echo from your school days? Think, man. Who was the leader of the Amazons in Africa? Medusa. Amodozo. Medusa. Mzangu. Amazons."
His face was alive with a delight I'd never seen before.
"These are the cream of the Dahomeyan army, the picked bodyguard of the king. Every voyage I've made, I vowed I'd bring back half a dozen of them, but I've never been able to make this black Satan part with even one. He'll part this time, though."
He rounded on me.
"You've a gift of languages, have you not? On this voyage, we'll find out everything there is to know about them, their history, their customs, the real Amazons. By the holy, I'll make those smug, half-educated Belial sons of bitches sit up, won't I, though? They'll find out what real scholarship is."
I thought it had been lust that excited him, and it was lust, but it was scholarly, not carnal.
"I shall make a name, a great name, with my work on these women. Despise John Charity Spring, will they? I'll show them, by God I will."
Presently he fell silent, but he never took his eyes off those women, who were halted now in a great circle round the square. And now, in their wake, came a gross black figure under a striped umbrella, at the sight of whom they raised their spears in salute and stamped, while the mob roared a welcome. King Gizo of Dahomey was bitter ugly, even by nigger standards. He must have weighed 20 stone, with a massive belly hanging over his kilt of animal tails, and huge shoulders inside his scarlet cape. He had a kind of wicker hat on his head, and under it was a face that would have shamed a gorilla. Huge flat nose, pocked cheeks, little yellow eyes and big yellow teeth. He plumped down and opened the palaver in a croaking voice that carried harshly all over the square.